A lot of water problems in the American West could be eased if it just snowed more in the southern Rocky Mountains. For decades, states have invested in weather modification to do that. But there's never been clear science to show that cloud seeding actually works. While there are still plenty of questions about it, reporter Luke Runyon did find some answers.
Picture this. You're in a tiny airplane flying inside a blizzard. The turbulence is intense. There's no bathroom. And you're up in the air for at least 4, maybe 6 hours.
And then compounded on all of that, you're watching a little computer screen the entire time.
Sounds like a nightmare, right? But that type of experience is exactly what scientist Jeff French lives for.
Yeah, there's been more than one or two people that have been sick on this plane.
French is a professor of atmospheric science at the University of Wyoming. Parked in a hangar outside Laramie, we're sitting in a small propeller plane that he uses to study clouds. An expensive suite of onboard instruments lets him look at how snow forms in real time.
Ice crystals come in many, many different shapes. They can look like six-sided plates. They can look like long needles or columns. They can look like dendrites, which is kind of the typical snowflake shape.
Now, of course, clouds can make their own snowflakes. But decades ago, people thought they could improve the process, making clouds drop more snow where they wanted it. Cloud seeding involves spraying silver iodide particles into clouds. They act as the seed that can grow a new snowflake. French co-authored a 2018 report that showed definitively
that if you put silver iodide into clouds with certain characteristics, you can generate ice. That ice can grow. That ice will eventually fall to the surface as snow.
That study, conducted in the mountains outside Boise, Idaho, was a big deal. Before then, no one had solid evidence that showed cloud seeding worked in the real world. So for the first time, French was able to say,
yes, the amount of snow that was falling at this location increased.
Case closed, right? Well, not so fast. Sarah Tessendorf is a researcher at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado.
So sometimes the question about does it work is, does it produce additional snowpack on the ground? And we're still working to try to answer that question.
Tessendorf is circumspect about all the promises proponents of cloud seeding make and whether they can prove it. In the past, less rigorous studies have shown cloud seeding could boost snowpack by up to 15%.
It's a complicated problem, and the results that we see in one cloud will not automatically apply to every cloud everywhere.
In the Idaho study, scientists sprayed silver iodide into the kinds of clouds that looked ripe for seeding, more than 24 of them. But they could only draw a clear link between seeding and snowfall in 3 cases.
We want to see, 95% confidence that there is no other reason that this effect occurred other than due to the cloud seeding.
Neil Bracken runs Weather Modification Incorporated, a North Dakota-based cloud seeding company. Last year's hot, dry weather had Western water users coming to him for help, even with the scientific blind spots.
So I can say that we're up significantly in the last 24 months on the number of smaller and large-scale programs that we're modeling and completing feasibility studies for.
He says the Idaho study only reaffirms his company's promise to states, water districts, and ski resorts that the technology is effective.
Should we keep all of our instruments covered up?
But back in Laramie, Jeff French says water leaders should know. Huge gaps remain in our understanding of how well cloud seeding works.
And they should realize that there's a risk associated with it, and that risk is that it may not be having an impact at all.
The Colorado River Basin is inching closer to its first ever shortage declaration. And given that, French isn't surprised that some see the practice as worthwhile and are willing to front the cost to make it happen. That calculation all revolves around the cost of water and how much we're willing to risk to get more of it.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of weird winds and
Eric Germstad and I are huddled around a beige drum about the size of a trash can on a snowy hillside in Colorado's Vail Valley. It's filled with a solution of silver iodide, the necessary ingredient for cloud seeding, On top of that is a box of valves and a small chimney.
I feel like I was imagining something more high-tech when I was thinking of cloud seeding. Like, is this an old coffee can?
Yeah, this one could be a coffee can. It just, it's up on top of the chimney to keep any kind of preset from falling directly into the chimney.
It's not snowing right now, but Germstad fires up the cloud seeding generator so I can see how it works. First, he gets the propane flowing. And then turns on a valve to the silver solution. With a fire starter, he lights the chimney on top.
So this would be, if there was a storm right now, this would be seeding into the storm.
Yep.
Germstad is co-owner of Western Weather Consultants, a company that operates dozens of generators like this one. In theory, these machines force clouds to drop more snow in desirable locations, like ski slopes or the headwaters of drought-stricken river systems.
One little ice nuclei out of this could end up creating another 100, 200 snowflakes, potentially.
This site is part of a much broader network of cloud seeding operations throughout the Colorado River watershed. For decades, the practice has had a problem with its reputation. People would say that it worked and boosted snowpack, while definitive proof was hard to come by. But that hasn't stopped states and water agencies from investing in it.
It really needs to be kept in perspective that this technique in the lab works 100% of the time. In nature, the effectiveness can vary.
That's Dave Kanzer. He's with the Colorado River District and manages a cloud seeding program in central Colorado.
The reason that cloud seeding is being implemented on a relatively large scale in the Colorado River Basin is it's a very low-risk, high-reward scenario.
Most of the information out there says, yes, some water is gained through weather modification.
Colby Pellegrino is with the Southern Nevada Water Authority, the water utility for Las Vegas. Exactly how much extra water is hard to pin down. But Pellegrino's agency and others in Arizona and California are placing their bets on cloud seeding programs further upstream. Collectively, they're willing to spend upwards of $1.5 million on it each winter.
And the amount of water that's gained is pretty inexpensive water compared to the other options that are out there.
Even though cloud seeding has been happening in the river basin for more than a decade, not everyone thinks it's worth it. Patty Clapper is a commissioner in Pitkin County, Colorado.
You know, you read one side of the story and yes, it's really working. You read the other side and we really don't know.
Clapper says discussions are going on in her county now about expanding a cloud seeding program and using tax dollars to pay for it. She has lots of unanswered questions about the effects of putting silver iodide into the air and broader philosophical concerns about forcing snow to drop in one place at the possible expense of somewhere else.
The data's not there, and my concern was, yes, we need to be concerned about the water in our rivers because of the drought, because of climate change, but you have to be careful when you mess with Mother Nature because she can bite you in the butt.
Clapper's hesitation isn't widely held among water managers, though. Cloud seeding has been included in statewide water plans throughout the West. And last year, states within the Colorado River Basin agreed to keep funding these programs for at least the next 8 years. I'm Luke Runyon.